He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. The message you're about to hear is a straightforward, down-to-earth and insightful teaching by Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills. Lady Reverend Adelaide serves under her husband, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, as a pastor at the Lighthouse Chapel International. Lady Reverend Adelaide is a handmaiden of God and is privileged to have been used by God to pastor and to speak the word of God, both nationally and internationally, to all ages and gender. She has a plethora of messages on many issues, experiences, and situations of life from God's perspective. Get ready to be transformed as you listen to this message by God's anointed handmaiden, Lady Reverend Adelaide Heward Mills.
Thank you for what your Holy Spirit has done. We pray that you will carry us on. Pray that your will be done. For unto you, O God, shall the gathering of the people be. Let none of us leave this place the same, but let us receive the word of God with meekness, so that our souls will be saved. Thank you for answered prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning I'm supposed to talk about spiritual survival kit. The world out there is very rough. And sometimes when we come to church, it is a place of refuge for us, because it sort of helps you forget what is in the outside world. And we come to church so that we will be equipped to face whatever there is outside. Amen. And I pray that the Lord will give us the grace for that. Now, women wear many hats. You know, you are a wife. You are a nutritionist, because you have to create balanced diets in the house. You are an educationist, because you have to figure out the homework. I remember figuring out my daughter's homework, and she came and told me in math that she got zero. And I said, well, that's why you should ask daddy and not me, because I love words, and that's why I read law and not medicine. So, but mommy, why should I get zero? I said, I told you that I don't remember the things. We have to be lovers in the bedroom. Some of us, we wear World War II armor to go to bed. And sometimes it's ignorance, sometimes it's a weapon that I don't want to know. So I'm wearing this. You know, when you wear the armor of God, it means you are ready for battle. So when you wear an armor in bed, it means you're also ready for battle instead of being a lover. And we also are supposed to be answering to God's call in the house of God. We work as well. When God cursed Adam, he said that in the sweat of your face you will eat bread. He said to Eve that there will be enmity between the serpent and yourself, and between your offspring and his offspring. And also you will suffer in childbearing. And we have gone to add Adam's curse to our curse. Do you understand? So by the sweat of our faces also, we are eating bread. And so all that makes life very difficult to juggle. And what happens is that we lose our strength. We also lose our balance. But I think that one of the things that we lose most is our strength. The strength for anything. The strength for life. The strength for even zeal in the things of God. We just saps out and we end up being nothing. Amen. Now, come with me to Proverbs chapter 31. Some of us don't like reading this particular proverb because we feel the woman is too much. How could she do all these things? And when we read about her, we feel indicted. And so we say she's not real. Well, Lady Reverend, do you think it was one woman? Maybe it's many women doing a lot of things. But when Lemuel's mother was speaking to him, he said that a virtuous woman, a woman, not women, is this and that and that. Amen. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 31. The Bible talks about this virtuous woman, that she does so many things. But I want to zero in on verse 17 and verse 25. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. In verse 25, strength and dignity, or strength and honor, are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Amen. Now, I believe that the reason why this woman is able to go and bring her food from afar, go to the merchant ships, deliver her girdle, wake up early, make coverings of tapestry, feed her servants, have the law of kindness in her mouth, stretch forth her hands with kindness, and all these things is because she has a certain strength. And the Bible says in verse 17 that she is the one who gets her loins with strength. And she strengtheneth her arms. It is something or a favor that she does herself. Amen? Otherwise, she will not be able to play all these different roles. So there's a certain strength that every woman needs. I think naturally that women are more resilient than men in certain things. For instance, when it comes to pain, trauma, bearing things, women are able. When you take even the example of labor, I feel that God knows why He gave us that duty. Even though it was part of his curse, he said in Timothy that we will be saved in childbearing if we continue in charity and in faith and in good works. Amen. So she girdeth up her loins with strength. To gird up is to make ready. To gird up is to prepare. And the loins are a place of strength. It says that either your waist can be your loins, your back can form part of your loins. So it's something that you gird up so that you will be strong in whatever you are going to do. She girdeth up her loins with strength. And she strengthens her arms. I don't believe that it's just physical arms, but her arms do a lot of things and achieve a lot of things. So she needed to strengthen her arms. Before she can reach out to anybody, the virtuous woman needs to strengthen her arms. Then, in verse 25, it says that strength and dignity are her clothing. Your clothing is what defines you. Your clothing is something you have on every day. In fact, even when you are going to bed, you have something that you clothe yourself with. And this woman clothes herself with strength and dignity. Amen. And she shall rejoice. Because she has strength and dignity, she shall rejoice in things to come. She will not be afraid of the future. She will not be afraid of things that may come against her. She may not be afraid of, what is my enemy preparing? What is Satan up to now? Because she has strength and dignity, she's not afraid of whatever it may be that may come against her. Now, Lady Reverend, why are you talking about strength? Because before the devil will attack us or defeat us, he will first of all look for our source of strength. Amen? And so when you look at the story of Samson, when Delilah was sent, Judges chapter 16. Are we there? These days, we don't know the books of the Bible, but we know where to find Mary Kay. But when the issues of life come, it's not our Mary Kays and our whatnots that will help us, or our marks, but it's the word of God. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Hallelujah. When the lords of the Philistines came to Delilah, they mentioned her mission statement to her. They gave her the vision. First of all, entice him. But what was the enticement about? See wherein his great strength lieth. What the enemy is after is where your strength lies. What the enemy is after is to see where he can draw where your strength is. When your strength is gone, you are finished. Entice him and see wherein his strength lieth. And by what means we may prevail against him. The enemy can only prevail against us when he knows where our strength lies. When he takes our strength from us, and then he will be able to prevail against us. And when he has been able to prevail against us, he will be able to bind us, afflict us, and then it was when Delilah had finished her work that she would be paid. Entice him. See where his great strength lies. See how we may prevail against him. And then bind him and afflict him. Fivefold vision. And I believe that that is Satan's vision for you and I. Because usually in your service to God, it is when your strength fails or you feel weak and discouraged. What is the reason for that? It's also so that you will come to the place where your strength will go. What is the aim of attacking us with depression, which is so prevalent amongst women? So that your strength will go. You say, oh, this God that I follow is not worth following him. This marriage that I'm in, my strength is gone, Lady Reverend. I can't continue anymore. It's over. Entice him. As you walk with God, so many blows of life come. Financial blows, emotional blows, disappointment upon disappointment. And surely we also set ourselves up for disappointment because we are looking for God in a man. And there's no man that God has created to meet all your needs. Then God will be unnecessary. And God will never allow that to happen. And you see, we are so selfish also about our needs and all that. When you ask somebody, let's say a lady, why do you want to marry this man? If they are going to go for marriage counseling, why do you want to? Oh, because he's very caring. He understands. And he feels for me. Everything is about you. And when you ask the man, why do you like this lady? Oh, she's a good cook. She cleans well. I think financially she will be balanced. So all of it is about ourselves. And the only thing that God uses to dispel our self-centeredness is often marriage. So we go in with a very selfish and self-centered mind. And then as we are going along, we say, no, it wasn't about you all along, but you didn't know. It was about the other partner. Amen. Entice him and see where his strength lieth. Now, if we are to survive, it takes strong people to survive. When you take many arrows, many blows, many heartaches, many pains, many disappointments, many things, slander, all the things that come against you, and you are still standing, how do you stand? It's just by strength. And we need that strength. Now, I'll tell you why we need that strength. First of all, we need that strength so that we can smile at the future. Proverbs 31, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing. Therefore, she smiles at things to come. But when your strength is small, they say if you faint in the time of adversity, your strength is small. Sometimes we are emotionally not strong. Emotionally, mentally, we are not strong. And that's why when women's relationships fail, at least in Ghana, often they end up in the mental hospital. Because we have not exercised ourselves. You know, you exercise your muscles, but it's time to also exercise yourself to be strong before the blows come. And then when the blows come, like the virtuous woman, you will be able to smile at the future. Sometimes through no fault of yours. I mean, I have a friend like that. She was busily marrying, doing all that she knew to do. Then the man just came and said, you know, I don't think I love you anymore. In fact, I think that when we got married, I didn't love you. I just married you because of your education, your level in life, and all that. So I'm sorry. And she was weeping and she said, no, it can work. Let's trust God. It can work. And the guy said, no, I'd rather die than be married to you. And then he came another weekend. This is not, real life story. And took her car and said, oh, I'm just running an errand. When he came back, the front of the car had gone inside, dented. And when she asked him, he said, I tried to commit suicide because I'd rather die than be married to you. She did all that she could. We spoke all the speakings we could. The marriage didn't work. But as she was going through this, she also was falling ill. Her health, because the arrows were so many, her health was just failing. And the work that she was doing needed a lot of energy, strength, whatever. She just wasn't up to it. So I said to her, you know, you work as a lawyer. Why don't you resign from this very high-flying, high-end legal work and do some legal work that's routine? You know, there are some administrative legal work that you can do. It's routine. It's the same. Other than preparing for a case, today is insurance, tomorrow is property, the next time is this, you know. So she did just that, and then slowly and slowly, by the grace of God, she built up her strength. And today, she's a strong woman. And then, do you know what she tells me? She said, when he comes to visit the children, I just look at him like, ah, is this what I cried about? Is this what I wrote from one end of the room to another? I can't even imagine it. Is this it? Why? Because a certain strength came. And a certain, although she fell ill, she had her highs and her lows, she didn't end up in mental hospital. Because a certain strength came. A certain strength brought a certain hope and kept her going. And I pray that this morning, a certain strength will be your portion. Amen. Amen. I know that God is the strength of our lives. And I know that it starts with God. But we also need a certain attitude of strength. Amen. But we have this attitude of weakness. I'm not talking about rebellion or women's lib. I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about courage. I'm talking about a mental state of mind that nothing is greater than your God. There's nothing that should come up against us that should take all our lives away. I say to people, as you are weak, moaning, crying, the man is somewhere having a good time. What's your problem? As your children are there and you are allowing yourself to fall to so many pieces so that you end up in the mental home, who is going to look after your children? You need a certain strength. Hallelujah. She gets up her loins with strength, and she makes her arms strong. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she shall smile at things to come. She will laugh. You laugh at things to come when you know that you are in control. And you laugh at things to come when you know that it's not the end and it's not over. Amen. So we need to be strong so that we can laugh at things to come. Amen. Life comes with many seasons. You can't prepare the seasons yourself. God allows different seasons in our lives. But when it's winter, will you be strong? When it's summer, will you be strong? When it's autumn, will you be strong? When it's spring, because the Bible says that so long as we live, seed time and harvest, day and night, summer and winter, they will never change. You can never have for your life every time is daytime. It's not normal. You can never have for your life every time is summer. Even in Africa, we have rainy season and dry season. There are different seasons in life, and we cannot escape that. So we need to be strong so that we can smile at things to come. Hallelujah. We need to be strong in order to obey God's commandments. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto these people, or this people, shall thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers. Amen. Shall we go back to verse 5? You see, God gives Joshua promises and assurances. He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. You and I have many rich promises that God has made to us. But then the next verse, he says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. I've given you all these promises. I'll stand with you. No one will be able to overcome you and all that. But in order for these promises to come to pass in your life, you be strong. Amen. Amen. So it's not that God is not going to do the things he has said. It's not that God is not going to be faithful. But for his promises to come to pass in your life, you need to be a strong woman. Amen. And when you read, or it says that, be strong that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written. Because sometimes as you go along, you set out to do God's will. You take the people. You cross the Jordan. You go into battle with them. You see Jericho. Now it's time to fight Ai. God has told you that he will be with you. You don't know that there's an Achan amongst you. But as you are going, your men just fall. Everybody is slaughtered. How can you rise up and do battle again? Be strong. Hallelujah. So sometimes we look and say that, oh, these things God promised me, but they have not come to pass because the other component of strength. Strength for those promises to come to pass. Because there's also opposition to God's word. There's opposition to his promises in our lives. There's opposition to his faithfulness. And we have to be strong. God can promise you everything. I'll be with you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. My name is Emmanuel. I will do this for you. He means it. They are not lies. But you and I will need to be strong. Amen. And after he's also told him, meditate on this word day and night. It will bring good success. It will make you your way straight. But in verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The Lord has said that meditate on the word, that's all. And I'll prosper you. I'll do it. Just meditate on the word. But it says, have I not commanded you to be strong? Being strong, part of being strong is also being courageous. Not being afraid. It's part of being strong. Hallelujah. Sometimes we are so afraid. This woman who has to stoop, do this, do that, she's afraid. I attended a women's conference, a pastor's conference, not a women's conference, in Louisiana. And a pastor's wife there was telling me that she had been to that same conference the year before. And she was asked to bring a greeting. And when she brought the greeting, she noticed a lady, a white lady, sitting in the congregation when she was talking, but she didn't know her. So after the meeting, there was a lunch break. And then the host pastor's wife brought this lady and said, she has a bit of a difficulty, and I think she would like you to speak to her. So she spoke to the lady. And the lady said, I've been married for how many years? I don't know. Every blessed day, my husband beats me. Every blessed day, including Sundays, he beats me. And after that, he buys me wonderful jackets, wonderful suits. So on the wound, I wear the wonderful jackets and I come and sit in church. So this lady asked her, so why haven't you talked to anybody? See, sometimes you are hurting, but you haven't talked to anybody. And I don't know why Christians want to be so plastic. But sometimes also women feel that they must shield their husbands. You know, so how much do you shield and how much do you open up? And it's not easy in ministry to know what to do. And so she asked, why have you not? She said, because I grew up in a certain background. And I've been told that if I ever leave my home, I will go to hell. So this lady said to her, I'm not talking to you about divorce, but like seeking help, maybe separation, running to your mother, you know, your wounds have to be healed, things like that. I've been told that I'm going to hell. And so because of that, I have lost all the strength I have. I mean, even the effort to rise up and say, I'm going to nurse these wounds, or I'm going to have these wounds dressed, or say, I've never told even one living soul, not even my own mother, all these years. Then this lady was telling me that she was filled with holy anger. And she's an American lady. So she said to the woman, baby, you ain't going to no hell. And the woman looked at her as if the lights have come on. Really? So yeah, you ain't going to no hell. So now they arranged that they would come to the state where they were, she and her husband, and they would counsel them and go through whatever. So when she got home, she realized that some days or weeks had passed. She hadn't heard from this woman. So she took her phone and called the woman and said, you haven't called to arrange the time when the two of you will be coming. And then she noticed that the woman was a bit giggly and said, what is it? I'm not coming, I've left. Oh! So why have you left? She said, well, because when I spoke to her, a certain strength came. And she was very sad because she wasn't speaking to her to leave the marriage per se. But she was speaking to her to seek help. Maybe go away somewhere for a few days. So I believe that later she spoke to her and maybe could patch it up. But suddenly in 20-something years, she had just found strength. Be strong. Be strong to look for help. Be strong to say, I'm going through this. Sometimes we think it's weak people who do that. But rather, that shows a certain strength of character. That you lift up your hand and say, I need help in this area. Somebody help me. It's a mark of strength. Have I not commanded you to be strong and of good courage? You have to be strong to be a leader. I said, be strong so that you will take these people into the promised land. Moses told Joshua, be strong. You cannot be a leader and then not be strong. Anything anybody does goes. You never correct anything. You allow anything. You cannot be. So God has to tell Joshua, I'm going to do all these things for you. The river Euphrates from this point to this point is all yours. Only be thou strong and very courageous. I pray that strength will come into our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel 22 verse 40. 2 Samuel 22 verse 40. We need strength so that we can do battle. We need strength so that we can do battle. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Now let me ask you a question. If God is the one fighting for you, why does he have to give you strength? God fights for us all right. But there's a certain strength that he requires from us. That is why with a virtuous woman, she is the one who girds herself with strength. Thou hast girded me with strength so that I can go to the boutique. Thou hast girded me with strength so that I can wax my eyebrows. Thou hast girded me with strength so that I can go to the hairdresser. Thou hast girded me with strength so that I can do battle. If you are not strong, you won't survive the Christian race because you cannot do battle. There are many battles. There are battles in everything. God may promise you, you know, I'm going to give you a godly husband. You are really going to be blessed. Yes, you are blessed, but you will still do battle in your marriage. Amen. I often wonder why God puts two incongruous things like man and woman together. Men and women are so different. The way a woman processes is not the way a man processes. So the fact that even there's a gender difference makes an issue in the marriage because it's made up of a man and a woman. Number two, marriage may be perfect, but the two of you are imperfect. That alone sets you up. Number three, you may even have different temperaments, which is likely because opposites attract. So a melancholic woman, you arrange all your things nicely. You have gone to marry a sanguine who throws all his things about, scatters everything. Only that alone is enough. But the Lord will gird you with strength for battle. I'm not talking about the worldly type of strength. The worldly type of strength destroys. But the God kind of strength builds, creates, and causes us to have the victory. Thou hast girded me with strength for battle. It is not easy to even be in leadership or to be the wife of a leader. Amen. Or they say that, oh, it's not always easy. Sometimes you even come and stand behind the pulpit. You are praying. You are preaching. But after that, you go backstage and you do battle. I have been to conventions all over the world. And sometimes when I'm just about to leave, my daughter, my children have fallen sick. The posters have gone up. The tickets have been bought. Sometimes I'm the sole speaker. I know that I have to be there. I have literally carried my sick children on the plane and taken them to the program, and then they are backstage. So when I finish preaching, they say, short break, then I go back. Once we're in Switzerland, how am I even going to get a prescription for their drugs? So I go and say, please get this doctor to do this. Please, have you done this? When you come, I say, she just threw up. Then after that, the next session, and then you are preaching. It's not because you are a superwoman, but because he has girded you with strength to do battle. If you are going to be in the kingdom of God, it's a battlefront. That's why Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, put on, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might before he tells you to put on the armor. Because without strength, you cannot carry even a helmet. You cannot lift up a sword. You cannot lift up a shield of faith. You cannot get your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You cannot. You need strength. Be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Because even the shield of faith, that when you are going down, you say, let me lift up the shield. It takes strength. And God said, be strong in the Lord. Some of us, we are sure. That's why he didn't say, finally, my brethren, put on your bikinis. He never said that. Put on your party frock. It's not for cuties. It's for people who want to do battle. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Amen. To be strong, we need that strength to even put on the armor. Because armor may be lying all about. Look, it's easier to wear a bikini than to pick up a shield. Or to pick up a sword. Or to put on a helmet. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord. We need to be strong so that we can go through affliction faithfully. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Hey, how can these three go together? All patience with long suffering and joyfulness. You are suffering long and you are joyful about it. From where? That is why you need a certain strength to have this type of demeanor, to have this type of attitude towards the issues of life. We need to be strong. Amen? Amen. With all patience. You see, one of my greatest surprises was to read in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 that love suffers long. I never saw it in any romantic book. First of all, that even love suffers. I never knew. Did you read in Mills and Boone and all that love suffers? Not at all. And not only does it suffer, it suffers long. From where? If you knew, you wouldn't have said you were in love. Because when you say you are in love, it means that you are falling into suffering and suffering long. Amen, ladies. And Paul is saying here that we should be strengthened with all might according unto his glorious power, unto all patience. Many things will require your patience. The Bible says you have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you may inherit his promises. So even after doing God's will, between doing his will and inheriting the promises, there's a bridge called patience. Amen? Amen. And you have need of that. And your fuse is very short. So you need strength so that you will be strengthened according to his glorious power and to all patience. And long suffering. Young ladies, if you are not prepared to suffer long, you are not ready to marry. I said it. Amen. Love suffers long. The best definition of love is in the Bible, not in your romantic books, not in the movies that you watch that it was raining and then the train was going and there was a pitter-patter on the window pane. And then as he said bye-bye from the platform and you shed a few, oh, Peter, love suffers long. Amen? Amen. Strengthened with all might and long-suffering with joyfulness. Hey, not with happiness. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy. That you can still live even when things are contrary. No, sometimes when people see, say, how do you do it? I can't believe that this has happened and then you are still. It's not about you. There's a certain strength that has come from on high that keeps you. And it's not that you are pretending, but there's a certain joy, a certain hope that keeps you going. And that's why we came to Jesus in the first place. Amen, ladies. Strength. Turn to the next lady by you and say, be strong.
Be strong.
Amen. Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7. And I'll be ending soon. Psalm 84, verse 5 to 7. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. Verse 7. To go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Hallelujah. Blessed. Can we go back to the verse 5? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. Amen? Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. What is in your heart? Amen, ladies. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. Now, Lady Reverend, what is the valley of Baca you are talking about? Let me read from another version. Who passing through the valley of weeping, amplified, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessings. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Each of them appears before God in Zion. How do you go from weeping to a spring or to a well? It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, who passing through the valley of Baca. Baca means weeping. They make it a well or a place of springs. When you are a strong woman, when you have a certain strength and resilience in God, there may be weeping, for the Bible says weeping may endure for a time, but then your tears can add up to become a well. And when it says that a well or springs of living water, Jesus said, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. What happens is that your tears become a well of ministry to other people. Paul said that where we may be able to comfort others with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. When you are going through the valley of Baca, oh God, it's so painful. Oh God, it's so difficult. Oh God, I don't feel like going on. It's all adding up. It's adding up. It's adding up. It becomes a well. It becomes a spring. And then when somebody else comes your way, say, look, be strong. You are going to go through it. You are going to survive. You won't go over because you have now become a well. And how did it start? It started from a place of strength. Hallelujah. I hardly preach things that I haven't walked through. Everything I preach is a place that I've been to. Most of the time. And sometimes you don't even know the effect. But then people just come to you and they say, I'm so encouraged when I hear from you. I just know that it shall be well and it can be well. Not because you are not human, but because as you were weeping, your tears did not end up in mental hospital. It rather metamorphosed into a well that many, many lives can come to. Our theme is that many are called, but because God, when he calls you, you will go through the valley of weeping. But as you go through the valley of weeping, your calling will rather be stirred up. And you will also become a faithful and a merciful high priest. The Bible says, Jesus, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 8. That he may become a faithful and a merciful high priest. Not just faithful, but merciful because he has been a man before. Many of you, when you are interceding for your husbands, you intercede out of a heart of judgment. But if you will become a real intercessor, you will be a merciful high priest. You will be a compassionate intercessor. Oh God, have mercy on him. Oh God, turn his eyes. More than, oh God, this neighbor, this man of wickedness, let judgment strike him. Let the hand of the Lord turn him around. No, you would rather have compassion. That is how a high priest is. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a spring. You need strength. Otherwise, when you get to the valley of Baca, you will sit there forever. You need strength because you need to awake. You know, the Bible says, awake, O daughter of Zion, awake with strength. Take the dust off you. You need to wake up, and it takes strength. Being strong doesn't mean you don't weep. Some of you are too macho. Eh? Some of you have been so hardened by marriage that now you don't cry. Lady said to me, no, I don't cry. After 30 years of marriage, I don't know what tears are. Nothing moves me, Lady Reverend. I want to believe that she has become a well. Amen. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Amen. 1 Samuel 30 verse 6. We need to be strong so that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to be strong so that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the men spoke of stoning him, because the souls of them all were bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened, Amplified says, encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What do you do when there's no one to comfort you? What do you do when all of life is against you, including the man who should have felt for you? It has joined the opposition party. You are a Tory, he's in Labour or Lib Dem. What are you going to do? So, Lord, I thought he would be in my party. Look at where he's standing, Lord. The men that you are with, every single one of them, there's not even one left, they all think of stoning you. Because people change when they are bitter. People change when they are sad. And never take a decision in that erratic mood. Eh, this house I'm leaving. This marriage, I will never come here again. I regret marrying you. Look at you. You see, because all is not well upstairs, you are talking foolishly. But don't talk. The Bible says that be quick to hear and slow to speak. But we women, our mouths go before our minds. Amen. So I regret marrying you. If I could divorce you, I would divorce you right now. I never knew that you would. And after that, you can say, I'm sorry. So when everything is against you, including the people that you thought should be on your side, you need to find strength within yourself. You need to find strength from on high. The Bible says David encouraged and strengthened himself. in the Lord is God. It's nice to come to church. It's nice to have somebody encourage you. But there are times when you have to rise up and encourage yourself in the Lord. There are times when you have a meeting with yourself. Preach to yourself. After all, the woman with the issue of blood, she said to herself, if I might by touch his garment, I will be made whole. Learn to preach to yourself and address yourself adequately. Call yourself Adelaide. Why, my soul, are you disquieted within you? Put your hope in God. Why? Take yourself to be the counselee. Have the meeting. Speak to yourself. The words that Jesus gave to us, they are spirit and they are life. So tell yourself, Adelaide, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Amen. You are born of God, and therefore you will overcome the world. Remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Have a meeting with yourself. And David encouraged himself. If we are going to be strong, we have to learn to encourage ourselves. It's not every day the pastor will be around. It's not every day your husband will understand. Sometimes you encourage yourself by the type of music you play in your house. Some of you, the type of music you play, that's why the demons have come and they've taken your place. Be enthroned in your house. They are there. Amen, ladies. Even it may be in the kitchen, it may be, but when you just play a worship song, it makes you know that, I mean, he's God, you know. Hide me now. Under your wings, as the song is playing, how will you not be comforted? Even if you cry, at a point, it will go because you realize that life is going, your bills have to be paid, this has to happen. You can't just be sitting there like that. And David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Hallelujah. When we get distressed and men forsake us, we must learn to encourage ourselves. And then Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. I wanted to go into how to get strength, but whatever the Lord permits is fine. Amen. Revelations. Are you there? It's not the first book in the New Testament. Please spare us that one. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. And let's read verse 7. And to the angel of the, write this, verse 8. Revelation chapter 3, verse. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my faith. A little strength makes us able to keep his word. So you are not able to keep the word at all. So what is your strength gauge? A little, not a lot. He says, you have a little strength, and that you have kept my word, and you have also been faithful to my name. A little strength has done that. So we are operating beyond zero. If a little is like one, then below one, you are operating, because you are not even able to keep his word. A little strength makes us keep his word. And he said that, you see, we like to quote this verse. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no man can shut. All that. But it's because your little strength, you didn't give it up. You still used it. So God is saying that it doesn't matter. Your strength may look little in this life. But if you will just use it, it will cause me to open a door that no man can shut. And he says that strengthen the things that remain. There are a few things that may be remaining, but strengthen them. And as you strengthen them, the strength will come. Gradually. Hallelujah. Now quickly in a few minutes. Lady Reverend, how do we become strong? You have talked about strength. We should do this. We should do that. How? How do we become strong? There's a popular verse we know, Isaiah chapter 40, isn't it? Verse 31. Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We don't have time to wait. Satan lies to us. This is urgent. But waiting on God can wait. But when you wait on God, all other things will fall into place. That's what it is. When you wait on God, you find comfort. When we wait on God, we find strength. When we wait on God, he gives us his perspective to the problem. But that's what we are too busy in 21st century. We cannot wait on God. And women must not feel guilty to say to the husband, this weekend I need to get away. I need to see God, even if it's a day. I need to go here. And you pay for so many things. Pay for a place that you can go to meet God, to have a meeting with him. They that wait upon the Lord, we need it. Amen? Daniel 11:32, we may not have time. The people that know their God shall walk strong. Your strength is in your knowledge of God. Your knowledge of God starts primarily in his word. If you don't know his promises, how can you be strong? Satan will just football you around, twirl you around his finger, and you spend so much time braiding your hair, but never to study the word of God. Never to, you invest in everything carnal, but to buy a message, never. You say, why should I buy a message? That Mary Kay is more important to you than the message. When Satan comes to your door, lift up your makeup bag and say, Satan, look at this. But when you lift up the word of the Lord and you say, it is written, I know the plans that I have for you. They are plans of prosperity and not of disaster. Satan, it may not look like it, but he will bring me to that place. Then you are doing battle. But lipstick and lip gloss, and it doesn't do anything. They that know their God shall work strong and do exploits. Amen. We also become strong by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 to 34 says that through faith they did this. It said through weakness they were made strong. By faith. Through weakness they were made strong. So sometimes people come and say, Lady Reverend, my marriage is finished. The man did this. Lady Reverend, there's no hope. Everything is gone. And I say, yeah, so those are ashes. The Lord says, I will give you beauty for ashes. But before he gives you the beauty, you must give him the ashes. And also you are crying that it's ashes. That makes you a best candidate for God to intervene. So don't figure out, how will he do it? It's finished. It can never be. Look at the mistrust. Look at the betrayal. Look at the offense. Lady Reverend, it can never be. He didn't ask you to figure out when and how. Just hold on to his promises that you said you would give beauty in the midst of such ugliness. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I just want to trust you. Hallelujah. Through weakness, they were made strong. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Learn to stimulate joy in your life. There are times when you come to my house, you see me, you would think that somebody is there. There's nobody here. I am just playing music and I'm boogieing. Hey, it's not simple. Sometimes I may be even tidying my wardrobe, but I'll be playing something. Amen. And I may not even have a formal time that, oh, I just want to worship God now. No. But as the song is playing and all that, then I just lift up my, arise, arise. Sometimes I'm crying, or then I wake up in my style and say, take your place, hey, be enthroned, hey, you're now praise, all right, King of Kings. When I think, I get up, I say, ah, people are happy, why should I be sad? Nonsense. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and we must learn how to stimulate joy. Finally, a word from the Lord will encourage you. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Hallelujah. Amen. Bible also says that we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's why we are in a church. So that other people can strengthen your weak hands and your feeble knees. What group do you move with? And she said, don't go and form cliques so that they click you away. Do you see? Who is your friend? Who can you confide in? Some friends, when you talk to them, it's just gossip. But when you talk to a godly woman, she'll tell you, you know, what is happening may be ugly. But let me tell you something. God is able to turn it around. And it starts with you. Most of the time, when you go to your closet to pray about your husband, God speaks to you instead of to him. Have you not noticed? And I always say to women, let's own up our part and leave God to do the rest. Don't become a personal Holy Ghost in the life of the man. You have taken over Holy Ghost. Go out. I'm now in charge to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God who is at work in us. And it's God who is at work in your husband, not you. The Bible didn't say Margaret is at work in him to will and to do according to her good pleasure. That's what we want. But that's not how it works. So we who are strong, there are different seasons. There are times when you are stronger and the other person is down. And there are times when you are down and the other person is weak, stronger. Those are the times that we who are stronger ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The Bible says, sometimes you may be very strong in battle, but like David, you may get to a place where the Bible says he wept till there was no more strength in him. You can weep till there's no more strength in you. And then you don't have any support group around you. And then you just encourage yourself in the Lord. But there are times when God brings people in the church to help you. Your pastor, your lady pastor, your friend. But when they tell you, will you do it? You understand? Sometimes I counsel people, I say, do this. The word of the Lord says, one lady, a pastor's wife, came to see me and said, Sister Mommy, by the grace of God, I really admire you and all that, but I just want to ask you, how do you handle life in the ministry and all that? And I said, oh, first of all, I would say it's the grace of God. Secondly, I would say that the only light we have is the word. Because you haven't walked this way before. It's only the word of God that... She said, I'm not saying that one. I'm saying practically. She said, I'm not talking about that one. I'm saying that practically, what do you do? And I said, it's the word of God. That's what you do. You meditate on the word and it helps you. I pray that the Lord will give you a certain strength so that you will be able to laugh at the days to come. God bless you. You've just finished hearing this message, and I cannot leave you without giving you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to say, Lady Reverend Adley, pray for me. I don't know whether I'll go to heaven or hell when I die. I'm not sure of where I will go or my destination. I want to make things right with God. I want to start afresh with God. I want Jesus to come into my life and be the Lord of my life. If you want to have Jesus as the Lord of your life, I just want to invite you to say this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. Take my life and come inside and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for coming to die for me, Jesus. Thank you for rising from the dead so that I may have eternal life. And thank you that by this prayer, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. Amen.